Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Despite 34 points from Bruce Thornton, Ohio State fell to number 14 Illinois last night, 88-80 at the shot. Thornton at one point made nine straight shots. A three-ball gave OSU a 34-33 lead with 5 minutes left in the first half, but that would be the only time OSU would lead en route to their second loss on the season. Buckeyes are 1-1 in the Big Ten. They'll dip out of conference Saturday night, playing West Virginia at Rocket Arena in Cleveland. In the NHL Tuesday, the Hurricanes beat the Blue Jackets 4-1. Carolina scored three in the third to hand Columbus a third straight loss. Jackets are back on home ice Thursday, taking on Ottawa. And in the NFL, the Colts signed 44-year-old Philip Rivers to their practice squad Tuesday to address mounting injuries to their quarterback room. No word on his status for Sunday's game at Seattle. This update is sponsored by Lion's Den, the official store for pleasure, passion, and romance. Shop discreetly in-store or online. Unlock a world of confidence and connection at the Lion's Den.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle Edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Loaded up on a First Friday Miracle Edition. Get your higher lower coming up at 10 o'clock. 10:30, Jake Trotter, ESPN college football analyst, going to drop by and spread a little bit of wisdom there. It is a Hey Guys First Friday. Get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas at 971BFS in the YouTube chat. We will answer those at 11. The winner gets that $50 gift card to our great friends at High Bank, the distillery tour as well. And then Rich Scarcell, our good buddy, the Reading Eagle, he will join is coming up at 11:30 on the behind the scenes of how Matt Campbell ended up the head coach in Happy Valley, and will it actually work? Also, you're officially endorsed at the end of the program. These are the headlines on I just was curious this morning what the ESPN headlines were like on their college football homepage. So I'm just going to read them verbatim. Big 12 commish, Irish AD's behavior egregious. AD, ACC's social media campaign targeted Irish. Utah seeks private equity deal to boost revenue. Chesney aims to make UCLA premier program. Okay, so that one's a little bit about football. Arizona State's Dillingham wishes quarterback Levitt well in the portal. Top-rated defensive tackle Woods of Clemson declares for the draft. Irish will push to keep Freeman at NFL amid NFL interest. And sources, four LSU coaches rejoin Rebels for college football playoff. That is the list of headlines on the college football homepage on ESPN. And as we embark on this postseason here that's going to take place in 9 days with the first round of it, and then, of course, the Buckeyes will wait it out until New Year's Eve to get to the winner of Texas A&M and Miami. And it's coming on the heels of a college football regular season that was as popular as it's ever been. Three Buckeye games are the top three rated games. The Big Ten has some problems. Ohio State has no problems. By the way, don't ever let the Big Ten drag you down. Their problems are not your problems. But more people are watching than ever. There's more money in the sport than ever. To this point, with the exception yesterday of Troy Aikman, who said he's done giving money to UCLA because they didn't even say thank you, there has not been any course correction in terms of boosters with NIL. To this point, with all of the chaos and all of the headlines that I just mentioned, the sport has never been more popular. But it is a little bit to me like a kid who keeps doing something nefarious while seeing positive results in his mind, knowing that at some point there will be a reckoning for all of this. Inevitably, you get caught. inevitably it catches up with you. I'm not smart enough to know what that's going to look like. I don't know what that's going to look like. I think it looked a little bit like what happened with LSU and Lane Kiffin this year. I think that's a little bit like it. I think it looked a little bit like Bo Prabula bouncing on Penn State. And I don't blame him for doing so, by the way. I think it looked a little bit like that. I think those are the cracks in the foundation of the sport and of no fault of their own. Not Bo Prabula's fault that he wanted an opportunity. And by the way, it worked. He went and became the starting quarterback at Missouri and they had a great year. He got hurt, but he had a great year. I don't blame Lane Kiffin for the calendar. You should be able to work wherever you want to work. And if you want to work in Baton Rouge and you want to live in Baton Rouge instead of Oxford, God bless you. We live in a free country. We have the ability to make choices. Those choices have repercussions. And that's kind of where I think the sport is right now. It's in this weird spot where it's never been more popular. The games, for the most part, have never been better. The quality of play is really good. The talent is immense. The star power is immense. The money is monstrous across the sport. It defies logic how much money there is in this sport. You could even argue to a certain degree when it comes to the television revenue that these entities are undercompensated for what they're delivering. They're delivering the second most popular sport in this country to an audience every single week. And yet we can all see all of these things cropping up and there's going to be more and more of them. And I don't have a lot of faith in the current leadership in the sport to right the ship, because their attitude towards this, anytime they've been tasked with righting the ship, has been to kick the can down the road and put a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage and get to another week. There has been in the eight, nine seasons since I've been back and going back for, 25 years covering major college football, there has never been anybody who I could identify as someone who wants to revolutionize or reset the sport or get it right or get it healthy. Everybody's goal and power is how can I line my pockets as much as I can, as fast as I can, and push these problems onto somebody else. And I do think that the sport is getting very close. And by very close, I'm not saying the next 6 months, the next year. I'm talking the next 3 to 5. The sport is getting set for a reckoning, and it needs to have a reset. And there needs to be bold people, smart people. I would talk to people in the sport. There are some simple things that need to be done. And to me, they can be done relatively easily to keep this thing going in the right direction and keep it as beloved as it is to all of us. Because that's the overarching thing is, if you go back the last 40 years, one of the most regional sports in this country has become a national sport. The second most popular sport in this country. That's a remarkable thing that's happened. And it's the product and the passion and the pageantry and all of it that got it to that point. But it does feel like they're headed to a crossroads and there needs to be some real leadership in a big, big way. Because here's the other thing, guys. I don't think we know the half of it. I don't think we know the half of what's going on behind the scenes.
No, and I keep thinking about, the news from Utah yesterday, the news last week that I think it's Dubai is going to be holding a college basketball showcase. That we're not far from more international. We're not too far from Saudi influence into this whole thing, where money's sure. and Saudi influence, PE influence, and more at the expense of the fans and the consumers. I do keep asking myself, will there be a breaking point for the college football fan? And so far, you haven't found it. Because to your point, the numbers keep going up, but the ask keeps getting greater. Because in that reporting about Utah yesterday, they want to draw more revenue from places like tickets and concessions. And that strikes to me, and it's, nothing I'm reading that anybody else couldn't. They're just going to ask for, they're just going to raise ticket prices. They're going to raise stadium experiences. They're going to be building more luxury boxes for fans that have more in their pockets than the average fan. And this whole thing about the Big Ten and how gross it was that the conference itself was going to sell off a chunk of itself, that they thought they could buy the feeling you have on Lane Avenue on Saturday.
Yeah.
Surrounded by thousands of Ohio State fans going from Varsity Club to the O on Lane to every place that you grew up going to tailgates to before an Ohio State game. Like, they thought they could buy that. And it feels like they're going to try. And that's going to really hurt the experience. But I don't know if it's going to stop us to the point where it's going to stop them.
It's going to be real interesting to see what the college football playoff TV numbers are this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know the college football playoff numbers were down a little bit last year.
In the quarters, yeah.
And especially when you have games like James Madison and Oregon and Tulane and Ole Miss, I'm guessing the numbers will be pretty down on games like that because most of us believe those are going to be blowout games, that they're not going to be competitive.
But I think there'll be sellouts in their stadium sites.
Probably. Maybe. They could be. I wonder what the TV numbers are going to be because we talk about all the time about the administrators kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
Well, of course they have been because their pockets have been getting lined and that's all they cared about. They were making money hand over fist and they still are. The only way it's going to change is if that stops.
Yep.
And to your guys' point, what is the point where that happens? What's the breaking point where people are like, I don't care about this anymore. I'm not going to tune in. The majority. Obviously, there's going to be people that always care. But when the majority quit tuning in, that's when they'll step in and change things. And I don't know if we're close to that.
No, I think if you think of it like when a rock hits a window and it's spider webs, I think the rock's already hit, and I think there's little breaking points all over the spot. And I think the non-revenue sports are at breaking points, having to do what the Big Ten non-revenue teams have to do with travel, which is absolute insanity. I think there's little cracks everywhere. And Reese, what you were talking about with tickets, and we see that here. I mean, I understand why they're doing it. I get it. I understand it. But we're charging for tours of Ohio Stadium. When I first got here, you could walk in any day you wanted. Doors were open.
I remember doing that.
Yeah, me too. Go walk in. You know, I mean, so that they have to find money, and the money's the key to all of it. And when that becomes something that's untenable, that's when there will be real change. And boy, there's a million different angles to this too, right? It's what do conferences look like in 5 years from now? What does a playoff look like in 5 years from now? Will somebody ever do the right thing and talk to the NFL about making a calendar to where they can both coexist in December and early January? That takes real leadership.
And it's also never somebody's fault or responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault and responsibility. Fingers are always being pointed.
Yeah. Which does beg the question, if you were in this business and the better business came calling, would you pick up the phone? Marcus Freeman may be in that situation very, very quickly. We will get to that story coming up next. We're off and running on a First Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan.
At the Ohio Lottery.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're tracking rainy and windy conditions here for today as winds gust up to 40 miles per hour. That's going to usher in some colder temperatures later on this afternoon. Eventually looking at some rain and snow showers through this evening into the early part of tonight. And temperatures dropping down to the 30s here by tomorrow with a few more flurries. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Common man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, says man's hemorrhoid. Common man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Scioto Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. At Scioto Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the out-of-bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy just keeps building. Scioto Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing. It's coming right here to Columbus. So come experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments that are waiting for you at Eldorado Scioto Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966 or visit caesars.com/Scioto Downs for details on that. We had an interesting thing from Florio yesterday that I saw, among others, in regards to Marcus Freeman and NFL interest. And Notre Dame Athletic Director Pete Bavacqua had a press conference yesterday, which we can talk about a little bit too, and did acknowledge that he is aware of the potential NFL interest in Marcus Freeman, but pushed to retain Freeman and make him one of college football's highest paid coaches. Bavacqua said, quote, "Everybody has eyes on Marcus. College has eyes on Marcus. NFL has eyes on Marcus. I bet Hollywood has eyes on Marcus. He's the absolute best coach in the country for Notre Dame, full stop. One of the greatest college coaches in the country." I am smiling just because of how improbable all of this is for Marcus. I remember interviewing Marcus at his apartment. He had a condo in Times Square outside of in Dublin when he was drafted by the Bears, and the disappointment that he fell and all of that, but the excitement of the opportunity. I remember seeing Marcus again. The next time I saw him was on the sideline where he was a defensive coordinator, I believe, for Daryl Hazel at Purdue, but it was in West Lafayette where I saw him again. And at that point, they were on very thin ice, and it was like, geez, who knows if this is something that can, how can we keep this going at Purdue any longer? And then he goes to Cincinnati, and he's on with Luke, and he has to make that choice of LSU or Notre Dame. And Threes and I were doing the show at that time, and I said, man, I go to LSU because they fire a coach every 3 years. If he proves he can recruit down there, he can be the head coach at LSU. And Marcus went to Notre Dame. And ironically enough, within a year, the guy who he signed up to work for ended up at LSU, and then Marcus elevated. And in part, Marcus elevated because Notre Dame said, we cannot have this team evacuate on us in the middle of a season. And Marcus obviously has all of the things that you would want from a personality standpoint, but he'd never been a head coach anywhere. He became the head coach at Notre Dame in short order. And the idea now that he's elevated to this point, it's just really cool. I'm just really happy for him. Urban had some thoughts on this too. He was on, I want to say with Colin Cowherd, and he had some comments on Marcus saying, man, I wouldn't go anywhere. You control your roster. You control all those things. I think we maybe even ran that earlier this week. And I think he's right. I think for Marcus, it's going to be very difficult to see him ever leaving Notre Dame. And I think the only place that he would potentially leave for would be here. But that's probably it. I don't see another scenario. I don't know that why he would chase the NFL situation. I think his ability to affect young people, to control his roster, what he did this year in recruiting is one of the most remarkable things. He didn't have a single decommitment. Just think about that. Not a single one. That tells you that the messaging and the NIL was aligned, and he recruited the type of kids that wanted to be Fighting Irish, and they wanted to play for him. There aren't many schools in the top 25 in recruiting who pulled that off. So I hope he stays there, and I think that he probably will, barring something ever happening here.
He's 39 and has the opportunity to really build Notre Dame back into a yearly college football power. And it'll be easier for everybody once the playoff expands that you're not going to have. I don't really see actually any situation where the Irish don't make the playoff as long as Marcus Freeman's there. Because I think in January they announce an expansion, and then it just becomes much easier for a 10-2 probably a 9-3 Notre Dame Fighting Irish team to make the college football playoff. And then once you're in, I think he's found as good of a balance as anybody in the country to recruit from high school and then to utilize the portal to fill needs. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're able to do that at the level that he's done it, which is top five in both categories, you'll be just fine. And that program will be just fine. You'll always get kids from the Chicagoland area and really across the country that want to play for Notre Dame, because I think the mystique's still there. It waned a little bit.
No, I think you're right. I think it's the mystique with Marcus.
Yeah.
I think the combination of Marcus and his, he's a handsome dude. He's charismatic. He's got energy. He speaks with determination. I mean, he was good at all these things when he played here. Dom and I used to have him and threes on wall-to-wall sports all the time. And he was, him and James were ready for it then. They were really naturals when it came to media and speaking in front of people and inspiring people. It came very naturally to both of them. So to me, I just think where do you go other than staying right where you're at and building this powerhouse? Are there jobs out there that would, you'd go, boy, can you turn down Texas, for example, if you want that lifestyle, you want to live in Austin? I mean, I don't know what his why is. I've been to South Bend, pretty remote. And obviously cold and dreary and small and all of those things, but it's pretty special too. If you've not been to their campus, all of the expansion that they do on campus is made to look exactly like what it's looked like for 100 years. So it's almost impossible for you to tell what is new construction and what is old, which is amazing because obviously they've had a ton of expansion and a ton of new buildings that are being built there, but they're, you can't really tell the difference between new buildings and old because of the way the architecture is done.
That's it, right? What's Marcus's why? Mm-hmm. And if Ohio State ever came calling, I think that would be hard to say no to your alma mater.
Yeah.
Also, quality of life, because mm-hmm. I'm guessing quality of life in the NFL as an NFL head coach is a lot better than a college coach right now, because there's really no time off in the college game. You're always recruiting. You're always trying to keep your roster.
Yeah.
He's young enough. At 39, he's got enough energy. But at some point, maybe that gets old on him. Maybe he gets tiresome. Maybe we all have egos to some extent. Mm-hmm. Maybe he wants to see if he can do it against the best in the world in the NFL. But right now, it sure seems like Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman are a perfect fit.
Yeah, I agree. And I think on the NFL, in my experience in the league, there are two type of coaches you can have. You can either have guys who are brilliant tacticians, offensively or defensively, and the reason that they get credibility is they show on the All-22, here's how I can make you money. My schemes are really good. You're going to be put in a position to succeed with these schemes. And then the other type of coach that works in the NFL is the follow me to freedom guy. So that's the Dan Campbell, Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh. That's that type of guy. So at just 38 years of age, what type of coach would Marcus be? Would he be defensive innovator guy? That's probably the best one. But then in that instance, then you got to hire offensive staff and all of that. So again, it just comes down to like controlling your controllables. And right now, his spot, it's an up at dawn siege coaching college football now. Round the clock, 24/7, 365. There's no days off. And that's exhausting. But at his age and in his circumstance, to me, this feels like a perfect fit. And I think he's the perfect fit. And I think that's why Bavakwa was so outward with his praise of Marcus. Because I do think what Notre Dame does in the next 3 to 5 years, what they're able to do the next 3 to 5 years is going to be contingent on that football program being elite. Elite. Not Charlie Weiss, not Ty Willingham, not Bob Davey, not even late Lou Holtz, 80s Lou Holtz. Elite. Not Brian Kelly. Elite. Playing for national titles. They played for the national title last year. That's the type of thing that they need to have consistently to fully flex what they can be when it comes time to determine what this whole sport's going to look like in the next 5 years. Because they're going to have a seat at the table. The question is, are they in a conference or not? And will all of this force them to be? And that's what was interesting about Bavakwa yesterday and the shots at the ACC. Because I think right now, and this seems crazy, but I think right now, like, Notre Dame probably needs them more than they need Notre Dame. And acknowledging that both the Big Ten and the SEC would sprint for Notre Dame's signature and take it in a second. But for their non-revenue sports, and even for football, how do they schedule if the Power Four decide we're not going to play you? And there's some of that going back and forth with USC with them right now.
Yeah, it goes back to the leadership vacuum that exists in college athletics in general, because you need to act on this now. If you're truly trying to get Notre Dame to join a conference, which I don't think will ever be the case, then this is the time you need to act on it. Like, it cannot wait. Like, this is where Notre Dame is as most vulnerable as they've ever been as a football power. Because the further you get into 2026, the more people will forget about this, and the more that this just becomes remember when that happened? It's like the Florida State thing. Oh, remember when that happened? Boy, that stunk. And I've got lunch in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, we have such quick, we're all goldfish.
So just to kind of buttress my point, next year, Notre Dame has four Big Ten teams on the schedule. USC, Michigan State, Purdue, and Wisconsin.
You're going to put the kibosh on that now. If you really, really want to press Notre Dame, it's got to happen now.
Yeah, four of them. They play Navy. Okay, that's fine. You can always do that. And the rest is ACC. Stanford's in the ACC. It's Stanford, Syracuse, SMU, Boston College, Miami, North Carolina. And then they play Rice. Like, if you're Notre Dame, how satisfied are your alumni with a steady diet of American teams coming in there? I'm guessing that's not going to do it. I think they're much more vulnerable than they'll let you, than that they would lead on. The Buckeyes, not vulnerable at all, crushed it in terms of audience draw, the biggest in all of college football. They are indeed the world famous Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll get to that. And the Buckeye basketball team hosting Illinois last night. God, aesthetically, it was incredibly pleasing in regard to the uniform choices of the two schools. In terms of the play, especially the last few minutes, I have some thoughts on Big Ten officiating. We'll get to all of that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. The Buckeyes are up, officially out there now. Fox announcing yesterday Ohio State's Big Ten championship game loss to Indiana drew a record-breaking audience of 18.3 million, the most watched Big Ten title game ever, second most watched game in college football this season. The Michigan game was number one, 18.4, Ohio State, Indiana, 18.3, then Alabama, Georgia, 16.9, Ohio State, Texas, 16.6. This is the real truth on the ratings this year. This is the battle that's kind of being waged. Fox has Ohio State. Ohio State played three marquee games this year, and those marquee games rated bonanza. The SEC won the year in that if you looked at the top 50 games this year, the vast majority are the Southeastern Conference. Again, this is not an Ohio State problem. It's a Big Ten problem. They didn't play enough hits. They didn't do enough to build brands outside of the Buckeye brand. And so this is what you're stuck with. Whereas if Ohio State's in the window, you're going to rate. If they're not in the window, nobody else in this league has proven that they've been able to carry it. Michigan is second. They're the second most liked. And then it would be interesting to see how USC and Oregon and Penn State and all of those kind of sort out. My hunch is it would be Oregon at this point would be probably the third most valuable brand in terms of putting eyeballs on it. But again, this is not a Buckeye problem. It's a Big Ten problem. The bottom of the league's really bad, and there's a lot of unwatchable games because they didn't play the hits. I mean, Ohio State didn't play Indiana, Oregon, or USC this year. It's a bad job.
I get USC and on the calendar next year, but
great.
The idea that it took this long for those two brands, those two historic college football brands, to play each other is ridiculous. And help us, Kurt Cignetti, you might be our only hope. If you want any alleviation from this Big Noon fiasco, it's probably going to have to come from Indiana and maybe Penn State. Maybe. I think that's at least a year out from Matt Campbell and trying to resurrect that program into something where a network like Fox would be like, sure, we'll take them over whoever else Ohio State's playing. I mean, these numbers.
Reese, how many do we have Ohio State Rutgers? I mean, how many big names do we have? Just utter nonsense.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll ever get to the six in a row that was last year.
Oh, God.
But it certainly felt like you had three in a row on Fox in some form or fashion. And I can sense it from Buckeye fans. I feel it myself. Fox just isn't it anymore.
It's a tough watch. I mean, the amount of commercials, when they take the commercials, it's a long, tough watch. I was talking to a buddy who just primarily watches the NFL. He's like, is this what every college game's like? You watch the Big Ten championship game? No. They're not all 4.5 hours long.
I had to do it twice this year. The one time was the Washington game, and the other was this Big Ten championship game where I had to go back and watch the Big Ten in 60.
Yeah.
To kind of catch up on the game because I saw bits and pieces, but not the whole thing. That between a Fox broadcast is just night and day. And I understand when you're cutting out all the fluff and you get it all in an hour, it's definitely different than a normal game. But man, it sure does seem like there's a lot of unnecessary in a Fox broadcast.
Yeah, yeah, there is. Speaking of unnecessary, Big Ten officiating on the basketball side of things, unnecessary. It's unwatchable. It's a bad television product. This thing that I watched last night.
On Peacock.
Let me do the basketball first, and then I'll get to the get off my lawn stuff. Bruce Thornton had a first half where he was essentially unguardable. He only missed one shot. I mean, he only missed one shot. He's basically unguardable. Played about perfect. And Ohio State was down 6. And I was watching with the boys, and I said, I go, oh, that's not good. And they go, what do you mean? Thornton's unbelievable. I'm like, yeah, he had the best half you can have, and they're down 6. They don't have the firepower to hang with that Illinois team. That Illinois team, that's a Final Four team. That's an Elite Eight team. That's an elite college basketball team. Ohio State's not on that level yet. And I do think they'll get there with Jake. I think he's doing a lot of the right things. I think it's coming along, but they're not there yet. But I thought Thornton was exceptional. I don't, as great as he is, and this is going to sound backhanded, it's not intended to. I just don't think you can be a Final Four team if he's your best player.
No, you're absolutely right.
And he can't be Batman. It's not a shot at him. I know it comes across that way because he was brilliant. God, he was 34-6-6. He missed one shot in the first half, had 24 at the break. Illinois couldn't handle him in any way. But the way that the game is played now, I just don't know that if you can make that run with him as your best player. And he's clearly the best player on this team.
I've been saying that for a while, and people get angry.
Yeah.
But it's just the truth. And when I look at this Ohio State basketball team, where's the pro? Maybe that's Amari Bynum. Maybe. But he's young in his development. Matthew Grujicic, although he didn't even see the floor last night, maybe he's just 17. Maybe he could develop into something at 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
Bruce is a really, really good college basketball player, but he's never going to play in the NBA.
Not be a dude. I mean, the size.
He'll be maybe an end of the bench guy, but he's probably going to play a lot of college basketball in Europe. And again, that's we're not knocking Bruce. He's a really, really good college basketball player. And where would this Ohio State program be without him? My goodness.
Yeah.
Right. But there's just no pro. There's no guy that's going to get you there. Maybe next year when Anthony Thompson comes in.
Yeah.
Maybe you got something. And Amari Bynum, another year of him. It just sure seems like they're going to be fighting to get into the tournament again.
I think good word, fighting to get into the tournament. And that was the expectation that they would make the tournament. So that's what this is going to be. I mean, Illinois, Bo, what you were saying about them being a team that will make a run in March, I was interested to see how Christoph Tilley would go against actual center bigs in the Big Ten. Early return, not great, but nobody was really great outside of Bruce.
Yeah.
And I think that can give you stuff to be very, very cautious and maybe negative about going into the year. But they're only 1-1 in Big Ten play. I think it gets better. Because you were still in it the second half. You never, you were maybe down 1 point, and then somehow Gabe Cupps got matched on one of their big Eastern Europeans. And I go, well, that isn't going to work. But it's time, you have time to work.
Yeah.
Not much.
No, I never thought they were going to win.
I just didn't think they were ever going to win. I just think Illinois had an answer to everything. Anytime it got interesting, to your point, yeah, they got Cups plays his ass off, but he got switched and there's not much he can do about it. I don't have to talk to Rhyme Time about this. Those guys dressed in orange with the cigarettes and the bowler hats behind the Illinois bench, I'm for all those guys. My kid's like, are they smoking? I said, I don't think it's a real cigarette. I don't think it's that.
Like vape pens?
They were like older dudes, like with beards, dressed as like a Serbian army or something. It was unbelievable. I'm for all those guys. There is a pound of flesh that has been taken from the Buckeye basketball fandom over the course of the last decade. The end of Thad, and after the beginning of Holtmann, the end of Holtmann left in, and I think coupled with a television partnership that is doing them absolutely no favors. You have a program that Jake is trying to dig out, I think, of a pretty big hole in terms of an interest standpoint. I think that this fan base was neglected in terms of quality basketball for damn near a decade. And so when I'm watching this game last night on a Tuesday night in a primetime window, 7:30, and I see nobody in the upper deck, I go, geez, that's how bad this has gotten. I mean, this was a 7-1 team against the 13th ranked team in the country, your Big Ten home opener, and the entire upper level is empty. And that's not on Jake. That's on an apathy that has taken place here over the better part of the last decade when the program started to deteriorate. And so you got to win all of that back, and it's tough. It's really tough. Once you lose them, it's really hard to win them back. So winning will help. And you need to just do that consistently. Game times, all those things will help. But I also think it really sucks. And I know this one was on YouTube TV here locally. You were able to see it, I believe. I had somebody on social tell me that you were able to see it on YouTube TV. Were you able to see this thing, or did you have to go through the app?
I did Peacock.
Yeah, I did too. Mine was glitchy.
The not dead NBC Sports Network had it available.
Okay.
But I don't have that.
Peacock was glitchy. It was driving us nuts.
So that would be why it was on YouTube TV, if that's the case, if they put it on NBC Sports Network, because it's back, it's living again, but it's only on YouTube TV right now.
I think so, yeah. And this has been an epidemic for probably go back. I mean, there's a reason that Bobby Knight threw a chair 40 years ago, because the officiating in this league, they really think it's about them. They really think
one of them was high stepping last night.
Oh, yeah. They really think that the audience wants to watch them call a game. That was unwatchable, the last 5 minutes of that game. I didn't even know that there were 48 personal fouls. I know both teams were in the double bonus for about the last 15 minutes. That's a failure. That is a failure. It's not watchable. It's not. It's a disaster. And this has been a problem in this league for a long time. Teddy Valentine, of course, everybody remembers that. There's been a million other of these guys. We shouldn't know your names. We shouldn't even notice that you're there. And it feels like every time Big Ten games are played, the last 5 minutes last 45 minutes because of all the stupid fouls and all the stupid television timeouts.
48 fouls called last night in that basketball game.
It's not watchable. That is not watchable at all. And by the way, if with all the TV timeouts, you get three timeouts, that's it. No 20s. No, three timeouts. That's it. You got plenty. You got four clock stoppages naturally that come with the TV timeouts. It's enough. It shouldn't take that long to play a basketball game.
I always liken officials to offensive linemen. I shouldn't notice you.
No,
you shouldn't stand out.
Big Ten goes the other way. They really believe you're there to watch them. You mentioned how it feels like the Buckeyes are going to be there chasing the postseason. It feels like the Blue Jackets are going to be in a very similar spot. I had a very interesting feeling last night watching both of these games. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Men, we hear it all.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Love football. Love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burn live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fans YouTube channel.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. From the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. A Herculean performance from Bruce Thornton wasn't enough last night at the Shot as number 13 Illinois beat the Buckeyes 88-80. OSU's senior captain scored 34 points, 24 of those in the first half, but the Buckeyes couldn't match the bigs for the Illini, who made 29 of 32 free throw attempts. Ohio State falls to 1-1 in Big Ten play. They'll head to Cleveland to play West Virginia Saturday night at 8 o'clock. On the ice last night in Carolina, the Hurricanes beat the Blue Jackets 4-1. Kane scored 3 goals in the final 20, hands the Blue Jackets a third straight loss. CBJ will host the Senators Thursday, and the Colts signed Philip Rivers on Tuesday to be the practice squad quarterback. No word on who Indianapolis will start at quarterback Sunday at Seattle. Week 15 in the league begins tomorrow night with the Buccaneers hosting the Falcons. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Enjoy rates lower than the national average, plus a special rate on balance transfers with a Visa Platinum or Visa with Rewards credit card.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a First Friday Miracle. Jake Trotter coming up in 28 minutes. Time now for a little higher, lower. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the Waterworks and Header Heating and Cooling today at 614-232-2222 or visit online at thewaterworks.com.
The final college football playoff rankings came out this past Sunday, and while the rankings don't matter necessarily as much as the seeding of the actual bracket, some interesting things that I think happened or that the committee did to themselves by virtue of about a month and a half of saying one thing and doing the other. We'll start at number one with Indiana. The Hoosiers won the Big Ten Championship at 13-0. At number two, Ohio State. Buckeyes 12-1 on the season, so they just swap. 3 through 9 are the same. Georgia, Texas Tech, Oregon, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Alabama at 10. Up 2 spots because reasons, the Miami Hurricanes. Higher or lower for Miami at 10?
All right, couple things. Number one, I have a little bit of melancholy with the idea that we won't be hearing this song in this segment for a while now. Like, this is the last one of these where we'll have college football, and we'll probably do this on, like, the final one. When the season's over, after the national championship, we'll probably take a look at the final, like, AP poll, but this is it from a playoff ranking, and so that saddens me. Number two, is Pete Bavakwa in Notre Dame the only person on the planet that doesn't understand the Tuesday show is a television show? Is he the only one on the planet? Are people at Notre Dame the only people on the planet that don't understand, like, the idea that they were trapped or bamboozled, or they're making a television show, man? Like, it was never the hard and fast rankings. Like, so that just blew my mind at, like, how naive that was. Like, oh, you talked positively about us for weeks, and then you took the rug right out from under us. Dude, they're making a television show. Like, does everybody not understand that? And if you didn't understand it, just go back to 2014 and go ask Baylor and TCU how that felt. I mean, that was 11 years ago they were making a television show.
Bo, you're right with that, but it doesn't make it right.
No,
they should have known, but
yes,
it doesn't mean that it's right.
No, it's fine. And I've been saying about the television show for years that it's a television show and you shouldn't take it seriously. Like, they're just making a television show. And sometimes somebody like Ward Manuel puts their foot in their mouth and all of a sudden conference championship game losers don't go anywhere. You asked the question about Miami. So this is how I would do it. This is how I would have these ranked in the top 10. I would have Indiana number one, obviously. Ohio State number two. I would have Texas Tech number three. I think Texas Tech's defense is every bit as good as Georgia's, and I think their offense is more explosive. So give me Texas Tech at three. Give me Georgia at four. Give me Oregon at five. I would put Texas A&M at six. I still think their pass rush is a problem, and I think their lines of scrimmage are really good. And Marcel Reed's somebody you got to deal with. He's not always great, but he's somebody you got to deal with. So I'd have them at 6. I'd have Notre Dame at 7. I think Notre Dame's that good right now. That's what the eye test shows me. I know what the schedule is. I know they lost their first two games, but I would have Notre Dame sitting there at number 7. I would have them one spot above Miami, who I would have at 8. I think Miami's better than both Oklahoma and Alabama. I think Notre Dame's better than both Oklahoma and Alabama at this point in the season. So I'd have those two there. Then I'd have Ole Miss at 9, Oklahoma 10, Alabama 11. That's how I would do that, 1 through 11. I think Alabama's the weakest team of the power teams. The way they're playing right now is the weakest team in the field of the Power Four teams. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't get righted by the time you get to December 20th or 19th, wherever they play. They can get it right by then, for sure. And they can beat Oklahoma. But their schedule was so rough in the middle of it with all of those games they played. I just think it took a toll on them. And they're not what they were when they went to Georgia and beat the Dogs.
Bo, it's interesting because I have the top five jumbled a little bit, but it's a little different than you. I have Indiana, Ohio State. I have Oregon at number 3, Texas Tech at 4, and Georgia at 5. I think I would have Notre Dame next at number 6.
Who are you choosing between them and A&M?
Yes.
Or them and Ole Miss.
That over both of them. Yeah. I think I would have Ole Miss over A&M too. So those would be next. I just can't ignore the
coaching change at Ole Miss and the circus. I think that contributes to who they are.
That's fair.
A&M is locked in. A&M was undefeated all year. They lost in a rivalry game in Austin in their last game.
I think every team in the college football playoff is saying thank you to the committee, because I don't think any of them want to play Notre Dame. Not with that running game and those two running backs. So I think Miami's probably pretty appropriately ranked at number 10. I just think the way to get there is a little different. But
yeah.
I don't think Ohio State, I don't think Indiana, I don't think Oregon, I don't think any of them want to play Notre Dame.
I think to the point where Pete Bavak was out there going, I can't believe they pulled the rug from out under us. I think it's just arrogance. You were told the entirety of this bracket projection that you'd be in. And he said, well, they would never do that. Not to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same level of arrogance as the Michigan man. Like, they live in their own different planes of reality from where we actually are.
Yeah.
And then when they pulled the rug out from under them, everybody said, yeah, that makes sense. Because I like the idea of including Miami and not including Notre Dame, because there was a head-to-head matchup that you just can't ignore. I understand it was so early in the season, but I'm glad that actual game on the field mattered in the end. So you have BYU at 12, Texas at 13, Vanderbilt 14, Utah 15, USC at 16, Arizona 17, Michigan at 18, Virginia falls two spots to 19. Higher or lower for the Cavaliers after that ACC disappointment?
I think it's around the sweet spot for them. Of this group of teams, I think Texas is the best of this group. I think they're better than BYU. I know they're better than Vandy. I've seen that game. So I would have Texas at, once you got through Alabama at 11, then I would have Texas slotted in at 12. I think Vandy and USC are very similar teams. I don't think there's much difference between the two of them. So I think those two teams, Vanderbilt's obviously better at quarterback, more of a playmaker. But I think in terms of resume and who those teams are, I think very similar. So those you can flip a coin, and then BYU's in that mix as well. Utah obviously would be just a little bit behind. Yeah, I think it's about right for somewhere in there for Virginia seems appropriate to me, somewhere in that mix.
Yeah, pretty close. I think I would have them at least one spot higher, because I would not have Arizona ranked ahead of Virginia. But I think that's pretty appropriate.
Arizona like played a season in a closet.
You didn't even hear about them until the last 2 weeks
of November.
Not a word. Iowa State handled them big, 39-14. BYU beat them 33-27. Houston beat them 31-28. Then they finished hammering Colorado, hammering Kansas. Beating Cincinnati, taking out my Baylor Bears. Boy, that was my biggest miss of all of the preseason. They got bombed in that one. And then Arizona State without Levitt. They beat them 23-7.
I'll ask this question with the final five in the college football playoffs rankings. Tulane's at 20. Then you got Houston, Georgia Tech, Iowa, James Madison at 24, North Texas at 25. Couldn't they have just moved Tulane and James Madison? Couldn't they just swap those two in this ranking and had anybody bat an eyelash?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, Tulane's got Retzlaff, so I suppose that's why, you know, they're there. The convoluted tiebreakers in the American is crazy, too, how all that shook out.
Reese, why would you do that, though? Everybody was clamoring for a Tulane-Ole Miss rematch.
I did hear that. I heard all of the people say, we got to see that game again.
Aren't you guys a little surprised that they didn't play television a little more here? Like, with what you just said, like, all you have to do is make Texas A&M the 6 and make Ole Miss the 7. Mm-hmm. And then Texas A&M is hosting the 11. They get Tulane, so that's a game nobody's seen. And then it's Ole Miss against Miami, which is a game nobody's seen. And play it out that way. I don't know why they didn't just play a little bit of television. And then, by the way, from in the next round, you would have avoided some things, too. So I don't know why they didn't just do that.
The final, the second-to-last ranking show, I think it showed you what the committee was not interested in doing, and that was embracing the debate, because they just had conference champ in the bracket instead of actually putting in a team, which is what I thought they would do, because it would do just to that, it would create television.
Yeah, and if they flip Texas A&M and Ole Miss, then it's Georgia A&M instead of Georgia Ole Miss, which we've already seen. Ole Miss, if they get to the national semifinal, they're going to have to play two teams they've already played. They've already played Tulane, they've already played Georgia. If you just do the Texas A&M Ole Miss swap, then it's all new opponents.
And they had an easy built-in excuse. As you said, their coach is gone.
Right, and A&M's resume isn't that much different than Ole Miss's. They're similar. There's only one spot that separates them. Just flip it. Isn't that weird they didn't do that? That's so easy.
It's a little interesting.
It's so easy. Then you're getting all new opponents. You're making better television shows. Like Texas A&M, I think I saw this yesterday. Texas A&M has not played Georgia. They've only played them once since they've been in the SEC.
Wow.
Just the way that it's worked. So you could have got something that you'd never previously seen. So I don't know why they didn't just do that. Would have seemed to have made all the sense in the world. So there you go. Go ahead, Beck.
I was just going to say, and you still would have got your Georgia-Ohio State matchup later on. Wouldn't have changed any of that.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't have changed a single ounce of it. All right, how do we think the college football bracket will inevitably play out? We will get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Men, it's the holiday.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Attack and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekdays starting at 6 or watch on demand. More Bobby, less commercials. The Fan.
Hello, it's...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're tracking a rainy and windy Wednesday as winds gust up to 40 miles per hour here through the day, and that will usher in some colder air for the afternoon as we see some rain and snow showers likely here through this evening. And then as we head into tonight, temperatures will drop down into the 20s with a few more snow showers in the forecast. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast. Or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly and always brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Buckeye Jewelry starting at just $99. Check them out, Sawmill East, and they'll take care of you. I promise you on that. Did you guys see this video of Christopher Mad Dog Russo taking a half-court shot? His son, I think, coaches for Northern Arizona. They were playing Arizona State, and there's video of him taking a half-court shot. Have you seen this video?
There's a lot of traveling.
Well, also, it seems like he's never shot a basketball in his life.
Or held a basketball. Like,
or even maybe even held one.
I'll post it at 971 BFS.
I know he's a big time. I love Mad Dog. I've been able to interview him a couple of times. It's pure joy. It's everything you'd want him to be. I love that he's had this renaissance on ESPN with Stephen A. and all of it. I just think it's awesome. The whole gummies bit, all the thing he's doing. I just think it's great character building. And I know he's a big time tennis and golfer. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to do something you're not good at in front of people who are good at it?
This?
You're very good at this, Reese.
I think back to like football in high school. I was terrible at it.
Yeah.
I remember one time years ago, I was on ice at a Jackets game, like trying to shoot a puck into like
that's
a
very
little
hard.
Circle. And that's kind of different when you're in front of a bunch of people.
Were you on skates?
No, I was just standing there in my shoes, but
yeah. Mine all involve golf. They all involve golf. When I was in Tallahassee, I had to hit golf balls in front of Fred Couples, who I think has the greatest swing ever. Like, my favorite swing ever is Freddie Couples, and I did a golf. And at that time, I was really bad. I'm bad now. I was really bad then. I just started playing. And he had opened a golf course south of Tallahassee, and I had to go hit golf balls in front of him. That wasn't fun. And then within like a year, Davis Love III opened a golf course in South Georgia, and I had to do the same thing. And so there were like television cameras and all of this stuff. And then Davis Love sitting there, and he had a sweet swing too. And so he had to do that. And then I had to play an entire round of golf at Muirfield with Jack Nicklaus Jr. That's never great. I mean, he was great, but I sucked, and that was brutal. And I had to hit in front of the Golden Bear on 10 off the 10 tee. I had to hit in front of the Golden Bear. So, it makes my palm sweats right now just thinking about it, thinking about doing that. Now, basketball, I played against the Globetrotters at the Shot. And that I played a lot of basketball, so that was great. So that was no big deal. That was easy. And I've had to do some football stuff too, but I felt very confident in those things, even some baseball stuff back in with Florida State's baseball team. But the golf stuff was nuts.
Now, hitting in front of those guys is a little different, but I always enjoyed when it was a big golf outing.
Yeah.
Being the first one to tee off, because it made me think and focus more than normal. Yeah. So I almost always hit a really good drive. So I always enjoyed that. Now, it's a little different when the Golden Bear is watching you.
It was a little different with the Golden Bear. I didn't want to think. I mean, when I think, that's when I start hitting houses, including Jack and his house. I hope that shingle has been replaced for Jack after all these years. He probably doesn't own that house anymore. I think he's still alive. I know he had dementia and all that stuff. Is Jack still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive, but
he's in Montana. I know.
I think they still own the house.
Do they? Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember if they ended up or not. But all right, we have a college football bracket, and we're doing this on the site as well. We have the bracket challenge, which we are doing here at the Fan. Playoff team means brackets. Mountain Dew and the Fan are giving you a shot at $500 in our college football playoff bracket contest. Just fill out your 12-team bracket before the first game kicks off December 19th. Enter now at 971thefan.com. All right, let's just go through this top to bottom. Let's go through our picks as we stand here. Now we'll pick these games with the number when it's appropriate. But just for now, just kind of your picks as you fill out a bracket NCAA March Madness tournament style. JMU Oregon. I'm guessing Oregon full sweep. This one's interesting. OU Alabama.
I got the Sooners.
Yeah, that will be fun. I just think it's Oklahoma. I think their defense is too good, and Mateer healthier and healthier. I think they win.
And I don't know why Alabama just forgot they have Ryan Williams.
Seems like a lot going on behind the scenes with him.
It's
there.
A really bad situation.
Seems like it, yeah. I'm going to go Bama, just because it would be very Bama for them to like be the controversy of all of this and be maybe the worst-looking team going in, but get right in 3 weeks.
Can you seem to stomp Oklahoma?
And I think Simpson's playing better than Mateer at this point. So which isn't saying much, but I'm going to go Bama over Oklahoma in that one. So, so we all have Oregon. You guys have OU. I'll take Bama. Tulane, Ole Miss, full sweep, Ole Miss, right? We're not thinking Retzlaff's going to pull any sort of magic out of his hat. I don't think in Oxford. This one, then, this is the game where we will play the winner, Texas A&M and Miami. How do you see it?
I got the U.
Yeah, I do, too. I'm not a Texas A&M believer. I haven't been all year.
Yeah. This is the best game, I think, of the first round, not just because we get the winner, but I think this is really good. I think Miami really turned a corner the last month. I just can't shake Carson Beck against that front from Texas A&M. I can't shake that. And I just think they're going to get home a lot. I'm going to go A&M. Plus in Aggie Land. Is that the night game or is that the noon game? Is that set up?
Yeah, that's the nooner.
That's noon?
December 20th. Yeah, that's right before the NFL.
Oh, God. They put Oklahoma, Alabama at night.
On Friday.
I guess that makes sense.
Yep.
That's smart. That's smart.
It's good playing.
It sucks that, of course, they didn't want A&M Miami. A&M and Miami should have been Saturday night if they weren't having to deal with the NFL. It should have been Saturday night because then it would have all of that. It's still going to have a great environment, but it would have been nuts, Kyle Field at night. I'm going to go A&M there. All right, so now we're back up top. Texas Tech and Oregon. That's a banger right there. Texas Tech and Oregon. How do you see it, Reese?
I got Oregon.
I love that game. If that game happens, which it looks like it will,
it's gonna.
That might be the best game of the college football playoff. I'm going the Ducks, too. I think they have something to prove in this playoff.
Yeah, I'm high on the Ducks as well. I hope their receiving front gets a little healthy. I think they need that. But it's a shame that this is a noon, too. This is an Orange Bowl at noon. The Orange Bowl should always be a night
game.
Oh,
that sucks.
That's really brutal. For Oregon going across the country and playing at noon body clock-wise, they're 8 a.m.? That's tough. But I like Oregon as well. So Oregon over Texas Tech. And again, I really like Texas Tech. Really do. IU Bama. How do you see it, Reese?
I got Indiana.
Or you have Oklahoma. You have Oklahoma.
I got Oklahoma. But I have Indiana winning that
Indiana
game.
Either way.
Yes.
Yep.
Big. I've got the Hoosiers getting past the Sooners as well.
It's not lost on me that you could argue that in my bracket you'd have arguably the most decorated program in the history of the sport against the least decorated program in the history of the sport, at least coming into this season. I cannot even imagine that game is going to be played in the Rose Bowl. Like if it's Bama, Indiana in the Rose Bowl, that is nuts. That's like, I got IU too, though. IU's defensive line was nuts. And I think Indiana wins that game. So we all have Indiana, Oregon up top. Okay, so in the bottom half, Ole Miss against Georgia. This is an easy one for me. It's Georgia landslidey. Go ahead, Reese.
Yeah, it was easy to move Georgia past the Rebs.
Yep.
Georgia beat them with Kiffin. They'll beat them without.
Buckeyes, you guys have against Miami. I have against Texas A&M. Buckeyes.
Ohio State gets it right in the Cotton Bowl.
Buckeyes. Yep.
Oregon, IU up top. Reese?
I got Oregon.
Bake?
So, if this would have been last Saturday morning, I would have picked Oregon. The physicality that Indiana played against Ohio State with, I think they win the rematch. I think it's IU onto the title game.
That's just so hard to wrap your head around. I'm with Reese. I think Oregon gets right in this one. I think it's a little bit of an inverse of what Ohio State did last year. And they get some revenge on the Hoosiers in that game. But I think it's a great game. It's a classic. That one's in the Peach Bowl. That's at 7:30 on January 9th in the Peach Bowl. Georgia, Ohio State will be in the Fiesta Bowl out in the desert. That's on January 8th. Buckeyes.
I feel like that'll be like a home game for the Buckeyes.
Will be. Yeah. I'd be curious the last time Georgia was out there. It has to have been a minute. I mean, that's not a place that you find them very often. Their paths to national titles typically go sugar and peach is kind of the way that it typically goes. So we all have an all Big Ten final.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ohio State, Indiana for you, Bake, and Ohio State, Oregon for Reese and I.
And Ohio State, Oregon scares me because I think the Ducks will go into that guns a-blazing like Indiana did in the Big Ten championship. If it's Ohio State, Indiana, I think Ohio State will go in there with a chip on their shoulder and have something to prove. If it's Oregon, I think that's reversed, and that scares me a little bit.
Yeah. Do we all have Buckeyes winning it all?
Yeah. Ohio State getting it right.
Yeah, I said this after watching them play against Texas. Nothing's changed my mind, even a loss to Indiana on Saturday night. They're the best team with the highest ceiling, and now they're going to have a month to kind of prove that out. Jake Trotter in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard.
A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit.
A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival.
That man is Jake Trotter.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Visit their Grandview, Gahanna, and Westerville locations to experience the best in craft dining and distilling. Learn more at highbankco.com.
All right, buddy. How close was the final bracket to what you thought it should be?
Not that close. I had Notre Dame in. I had Alabama out. I had Miami at the 9 playing Oklahoma. I had Notre Dame at the 10 playing at Texas A&M. I don't think Alabama was better than those teams, but the committee clearly valued Alabama going to a conference championship game and valued that stretch they had in October where they won 4 pretty impressive games in a row, and they looked over the Florida State loss, which was probably the worst loss of anyone in this group. So, I mean, you could make the case for Alabama, like certainly playing the extra game, you could say, oh, that shouldn't hurt them. I just, ask Oklahoma who they would rather play this week, next weekend, Alabama or Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And I think the answer is pretty clear.
Yeah, I just think it came down to a really simple question. You were either going to upset one school, Notre Dame, or you were going to upset an entire conference and the boss of that conference. And you can't really do this playoff without that conference. And they felt like they were wronged, whether we think so or not, and I certainly don't. They felt they were wronged a year ago, and there was just no way that that committee was going to upset the SEC, and they weren't going to keep their conference champion out. So I think it was kind of a simple decision. I agree with you. Notre Dame should be in. I don't think Alabama is one of the teams that should be in. But at the same time, I think they're kind of faced with, do we upset an entire conference and Alabama or just Notre Dame? And they chose the former rather than the latter.
I thought the object of the committee was to put the 12 best teams in the playoff.
Oh, no. Come on.
It's not? You're saying no. It's a political endeavor?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing? The whole thing has gotten stupid again. I you know, I like the idea of a 12-team playoff, but you do get to a point where it's apples and oranges. And, like, how do you compare Alabama and Notre Dame? And, you know, some years it's not going to be an issue. I thought last year the committee got it right. I didn't think Alabama deserved to be in over SMU. But again, you know, you can't change the criteria week to week or year to year. And it just feels like that's what's happening. So like 1 week, who you lost to matters more than who you beat. Then it reverses. Then we're going to say a win over Auburn is really impressive when it's not. You know, it's just, they make it up as they go. And, you know, I think that, I mean, I can't say this because it's on our air, but, like, I do think the Notre Dame AD, you know, had a point in that, you know, you're kind of setting up teams to be disappointed when you inexplicably change it the last weekend of the year. And that, now I'm not saying Ohio State should have gotten in 2014, but TCU, remember, was number 3. They beat Iowa State 55-3. I was at that game. It's the sickest I've ever been at a game in my life. That's another story. but TCU dropped from 3-6.
Yeah.
After a 52-point win. I mean, like, you basically just want to fit a narrative, whatever that narrative is that year. And this year, you might be onto something with, we don't want to snub the SEC again. We better not do that.
Here's the thing, and what you just said right there really proves my point. I made this point earlier in the show with Pete Bavakwa and his woe is me tour that he's up to, and I don't blame him. He's advocating for his school. And if I were to do this, we did this, and I had Notre Dame actually 7. I think they're that good right now, and that's kind of where I think that they ought to be, is right there at 7. So I would have had them absolutely in this thing, and I would have had Alabama out of it. But at the same time, this notion that the rug was pulled out from under them, buddy, you just referenced it. In 2014, they told you that they don't have a poll mentality. And I know the committee was different. It was 4, not 12. But up until 2014, the last week, we were conditioned that if you win, you stay. You don't drop for winning, for winning. You don't. But what they did to TCU and to a lesser extent Baylor that year and putting Ohio State above, that should have been the lesson there, that what happens on Tuesday nights is a television show. And I find it a little disingenuous that Pete Bavakwa didn't understand that.
Right. And you know what? Join a conference.
Absolutely.
If you're upset about conference championship games mattering, if you're upset about a conference picking on you, join a conference or don't, but you can't have it both ways. So my sympathy for Notre Dame only goes so far. And also too, don't lose 2 games in a row to start the season. I mean, they had 2 really good losses at the end of the day. You know, when you're not in a conference, sometimes your schedule is not going to be super impressive. And like, I think at the end of the day, if you were going to, like, to me, the Miami Notre Dame, all right, fine, you know, Notre Dame lost, but you look at their wins, and this kind of was why I was a little bit surprised that Ohio State only dropped to 2. I thought Georgia would go up to 2. I think even Ohio State wondered if they were going to drop to 3. Because, you know, sometimes your wins are not that great. And I think for Notre Dame especially, I mean, Ohio State was a little bit of a, you know, Penn State. I mean, you can't control that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just happen to not play Oregon, Indiana during the regular season or USC. But Notre Dame, I mean, like, what was their best win? Probably USC, right?
Yeah.
Not that great of a win.
No, not at all. And I think that that's the thing that's so tricky about this. And that's the thing when you have a lot of national folks talking about this, they really struggle. I mean, it's amazing to me how many, I talked about this yesterday, how many national folks who don't cover college football are unaware about what happened with the Group of 5. Like, they're like, why are these teams in? Well, because it took 10 conference commissioners to vote to allow for a playoff. That's why they're in, and this avoids litigation. That's why they're in. So, like, there's a lack of understanding about how all of this comes about. I did want to talk. Were you in Indianapolis last week?
I was. Real quick, though. The ACC is what screwed all this up, and their dumb tiebreaker system that somehow vaulted Duke into the conference championship game.
For sure.
If they had a better, and I'm sure they'll adjust it this offseason, because whenever you don't get your way, the rules change in the offseason. And that probably would have changed if Alabama got left out, as to your point. But if they had had Miami in the ACC championship, they win, then all the best teams would have gotten in.
Yes.
You know, instead we have JMU. It's not their fault. They did everything that they could do.
Absolutely. No, it's not their fault at all.
Yeah, I wasn't into it, yes.
It's a very good point out of you. And remember, the Big Ten, there's precedent. The Big Ten did this in 2020 with Ohio State in the COVID year, where they put Ohio State in, even though they didn't have the minimum threshold of games, because obviously, it was the right thing to do. Like, they were the best team. Like, have some common sense to all of this. I thought Ohio State's approach was interesting. I'm curious your view being over there. I thought the drives in the second half, especially as time consuming as they were, especially the last one, I was surprised there wasn't some tempo with it. It was interesting how they were trying to play it, but it's how they've played all year. But the thing that really jumped out to me was, because usually when Ohio State plays teams that have the talent doesn't equate, it usually doesn't equate most on the lines of scrimmage. That's usually where the dominance happens. Indiana's D line blew me away.
Ohio State's butt up front. I thought it was the difference in the game. They were constantly in the backfield. You know, Julian Sain took 6 sacks all year. He took 5 sacks in the Big Ten championship, and they weren't fluky. Like, he could have been sacked a lot more. Like, they were just getting penetration on every play. And it reminded me of last year, where the Ohio State offensive line quietly did not play well against Indiana, but Caleb Downs' punt return touchdown, there was a turnover at the end of the second quarter. It masked a little bit of what was happening. And then the Michigan game brought it to light. Now, they came back after that and you know, made some adjustments and were dominant in the playoff. And so that could happen again. But, you know, I already wrote about this, you know, for my Ohio State primer. Like, what's the big question mark with this team? It's the offensive line, because they got dominated. And I didn't see that coming. But also, you know, other than Michigan and Texas, they didn't play a lot of great defensive lines this year. So, you know, they're gonna play whoever wins, you know, in the first round. You know, they're gonna face a pretty formidable defensive line in that game in the Cotton Bowl. How are they gonna respond? Is it gonna be like last year, or is it gonna be like the Big Ten Championship? And if it's the latter, they're gonna be in some trouble, because that was an eye opener to me as well.
All right. As I won't hold you to this, because we'll have you on every week between now and then, and things change. But just kind of your gut bracket results. What is kind of your big picture on how you think this all shakes out?
Yeah, I was ready to pick Notre Dame to win the national championship. Like, I was, I was going to do that, and obviously now can't do that. So then I look at the bracket, and you know, I think the top four teams are all going to win the quarterfinals. So I think you're going to have Ohio State and Georgia. I think you're going to have Texas Tech and Indiana. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it. I ended up with an Ohio State Indiana rematch. I just kind of think they're the two best teams. And I think the offenses for both are just better than what they're probably going to face in the semifinal. You know, I just trust their offenses a little bit more. Mendoza was super impressive in the Big Ten Championship, mm-hmm. even though he didn't put up big numbers. And I got a rematch. And I got Ohio State winning it all. And it's a complete flip from last year when I picked Tennessee to beat Ohio State in the first round, just because of that Michigan game was still fresh in my mind. But I have them bouncing back and winning it all. And I, even though they lost, I think they have, you know, I think they're the betting favorite still. And I, that lines up with kind of how I see it. And, you know, they have a tough road, but they had a tough road last year.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's the interesting one will be that if it's A&M in the Cotton Bowl, that's going to be nuts.
You're going to have a lot there. Of Aggies there. It's going to be Ohio State almost never plays in a true road game unless it's like Michigan, Penn State, or Oregon even. And that'll be interesting to see what that crowd distribution is, because, you know, there's a ton of Aggies that live in Dallas and obviously the state of Texas. But, you know, Ohio State usually travels pretty well to the Cotton Bowl.
They do. They do. They travel well. Yeah, you're right, though. That's the one, even more so than I think even Texas last year when they had to play down there, just because A&M is going to be so fired up. They haven't played in a game like this in a really long time. So good stuff as always, my friend.
All right. See you, Bo.
There he goes. Jake Trotter, senior college football reporter at ESPN on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. We do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. 88-80, Illinois over Ohio State. Just seemed like it was an uphill battle all night, especially in the second half.
Yeah, you know, we kept fighting, and I thought there were two stretches in the game where we cut the lead to one possession or tied it or whatever the score was, and we lacked some poise offensively. Our shot selection there in those moments was not good enough, and, you know, they made us pay for it. And then, you know, we got to guard better without fouling. I mean, obviously, then some of those free throws we had to foul at the end, but they shot too many free throws. They were in the bonus too early. And, you know, I felt like that impacted the game, and give them credit. I mean, they shot 90% from the free throw line, and we didn't. And, you know, when that game's going back and forth there, it's a one possession game down with under a minute left, you know, that can be the difference.
All right. We'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. You can trust their team of agents to develop a strategy that's just right for you. And it's not just X's and O's. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. Auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the Never Afraid to Innovate teams and the Improve People's Lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
88-80, the final. Illinois defeats Ohio State. You tried to change up some things defensively. What was kind of your thoughts going into that? What did you think you got out of it, Jake?
Yeah, well, I thought our zone really stymied them, except we didn't rebound. You know, we didn't rebound once out of it, and then we fouled. Just again, we lacked some discipline and some poise in moments, you know, where we fouled out of frustration. And listen, this is a great experience for us. Obviously a high level opponent and game. And, you know, I felt like, you know, a lot of our issues were self-inflicted. Certainly not to discredit Illinois. I thought they played really well and they're a really good team. But, you know, we had some guys do some uncharacteristic things, and we got to get back and watch the tape and make sure that stuff doesn't happen again.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
'Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Toyota Thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 RAV4 or RAV4 hybrid. Or lease a new gas-powered RAV4 LE for $279 a month for 39 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a first Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
This caught my eye about an hour ago from ESPN's Adam Schefter. In a game being billed as the first ever high school national championship, St. Francis Academy in Maryland will face Corner Canyon in Utah in the Overtime Nationals presented by Omaha Productions tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. Joe Tessitore and Dan Orlovsky are going to be on the call of that game. Thing or not a thing?
So Manning's production company put a national college football championship game together. Is that the way
national
I read that?
National high school.
High school.
Title
high school.
Yep.
I wonder how they decided on those two teams.
Exactly.
Because I see no scenario. I can't see any scenario, and I understand that, like, I'm blanking on the school that Tate Martell played
Bishop
for in
Gorman.
Vegas. Bishop Gorman. Like, it's possible to be elite in those places. Bishop Gorman had a recruiting thing that, and at one point I think they won a mythical high school national championship. But if the two teams, if one of them's not from Florida and one of them's not for Texas or California, and even sometimes Ohio, it's hard for me to buy it. So I don't know how they pick these. The teams are interesting to me. Or even Georgia, like the Georgia 6A state champion, that's a squad. Like the Florida big school state champion squad, Texas big schools, those are squads. California too, like Mater Dei or De La Salle, one of the, I don't know who's great right now, but like, what are we doing? I don't understand these two teams.
That's what I was thinking. Mater Dei, that's Chris Henry yeah. Jr.'s team. St. Thomas Aquinas, IMG Always. Academy out of Florida. I mean, Bishop Sycamore here in Columbus. Like, what are we doing? There's all kinds of teams out there that, But yeah, I think that's interesting how they came to those two teams.
You almost got me. That was so good.
How they came to those two teams. Full,
absolutely natural spit take right there. That was really close with the Bishop Sycamore. You were doing all of the blue blood high school football powerhouses, then you dropped that in there.
I mean, they ESPN, right?
Didn't they play IMG?
They played Carnell Tate and IMG up at Tom Benson.
He was doing an OHIO in the corner of the end zone after dusting a 35-year-old. God.
Kid so probably shouldn't have been playing, but his mom said it was okay for him to go back in. So,
jeez.
This from Dan Orlovsky on that announcement. High school football is the best version of football. He says the game's loaded with CFB talent. So you're getting big recruits from Bama, A&M, Maryland, Ohio State, and Georgia. I'm interested to see who from St. Francis in Maryland or Corner Canyon in Utah is committed to the Buckeyes. But Penn State finalized the contract of Matt Campbell yesterday. The 46-year-old is getting an 8-year deal with $70.5 million guaranteed. Campbell's going to earn an automatic 1-year extension with a $500,000 increase in compensation for every time Penn State makes the college football playoff. On top of that, Campbell will earn an automatic 2-year extension with a $1 million increase in compensation for every time Penn State wins the national championship. Thing or not a thing?
Well, he won't have to worry about the second one. The first one, he's going to probably get that bonus. If he's worth a salt, he's going to get it quite a bit. It's a pretty interesting thing for Matt Campbell, isn't it? Because 4 or 5 years ago, you know, he a lot of whispers around the job here. He really wanted the job at Michigan when Harbaugh got it. And then after Harbaugh left, he wanted the Michigan job in the worst way. Didn't really get close to either. And kind of was probably resigned to just be at Iowa State for a long time. He'd been there a decade. And then all of a sudden, Penn State hits and misses on a lot of targets and ends up back with Campbell. There's this crazy story. We have Rich Scarcella on at 11:30 because I want to talk to him about it, about how they reached out to Campbell's old agent, but it wasn't his new agent. It didn't get passed along. And somehow they end up with him. I think they could have done a lot worse. I think for him, it's an unbelievable lottery ticket that he has this job. Because I do think Penn State is a top 10 job in the country. And I wonder if he was honest, if he thought he'd ever get that opportunity again after missing when he was really crescendoing 4 or 5 years ago.
I don't think we have to worry about the national championship bonus in this. But if Matt Campbell is what everyone tells me he is, he ought to be in the college football playoff every year at Penn State. He should. Now, I question that. Absolutely. I don't know if he will be. And, Bo, I think this is a lateral move or maybe a step back. Not a lot of people agree with that, but I just don't.
From the Penn State perspective.
From Franklin. Not for Campbell.
Yeah.
But from Franklin, I think the Penn State football program is going to look back at this year and be like, what the hell happened?
I think that is and that's why I want to have Rich on today, because, I mean, you start the year 2 in the country, you end by midseason, you fired Franklin, then you have this crazy coaching search that nets you Matt Campbell, and it's like, what is Penn State now? They had 2 kids in their signing class, like, obviously they're going to have to be heavy in the portal, they're trying to retain the players they have, like, what does all this look like?
Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark took issue Tuesday with Notre Dame's AD Pete Vivacqua's criticism of the ACC. He called his behavior egregious. Speaking at the Sports Business Journal's Intercollegiate Athletics Forum, the Big 12 boss said Vivacqua, quote, is totally out of bounds in his approach, and if he was in the room, I'd tell him the same thing, end quote. ACC boss Jim Phillips said in a statement Monday the conference stands behind its effort, quote, to support and advocate for all 17 of our football playing member institutions, end quote. Thing or not a thing?
The Yormark thing's really funny because Brett Yormark would crawl bare-chested from wherever the base of the Big 12 is to Notre Dame under a foot of barbed wire fence the entire way to be able to get Notre Dame to play in the Big 12. So that's pretty disingenuous on his part. Jim Phillips stuck his foot in it, and the ACC stuck their foot in it, and Notre Dame's pissed off about it. And we've debated a lot whether they have the right to be or not. I have them number 7 in mind, but the big beef here was that the ACC was really pumping up their teams and not Notre Dame. I don't blame Phillips for that either. Notre Dame is not a full football member. If Notre Dame played for the ACC title, it would have been Notre Dame and Miami in the ACC title game. Can I interest you in that?
Bo, your first point is just spot on this. No, you wouldn't tell him that if he was in the room, because what you would be doing is saying, hey, I mean, if you don't want to, if you don't want to be over there with them, you can come get in bed with us anytime. Mm-hmm. I'll pull the covers up right now. You can crawl right in. So, Bray, you or Mark, just shut up, dude. Like, get out of here. That's not what you would be saying. What he said might be right, but that's not what he would be saying. He would be saying, come on over to the Big 12.
Yeah.
We'll treat you right. We'll scratch you where you itch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. All right, final hour on a first Friday. You're officially endorsed coming at the end of it. Your Hey Guys coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The basketball Buckeyes look to bounce back from last night's loss to number 13 Illinois. Jake Diebler's squad heads to Cleveland to play 8-3 West Virginia Saturday night at Rocket Arena. OSU's 7-2 overall, 1-1 in Big Ten play after that 88-80 loss to the Illini Tuesday. Buckeyes have number 14 North Carolina 1 week from this Saturday in Atlanta for the CBS Sports Classic. The 21st ranked Ohio State women's squad is back in action tomorrow night against Northern Kentucky. Tyler Danberg will have the call of that game over on the Fan 2 Thursday at 6:15. That's 1460 on the AM dial. In college football, the Heisman Trophy will be awarded Saturday night. Ohio State's Julian Sain is one of four finalists. Sain is expected to hold a press conference shortly after noon today. We'll carry those comments live on The Fan when that happens. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Get a holiday loan and choose loan amounts from $1,000 to $5,000. Visit BMIFCU.org/holiday loan for details.
You say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Get your officially endorsed in about 48 minutes from now. Rich Scarcella, our buddy from Penn State, going to give us the behind the scenes on how that search went right or wrong, depending on your perspective. Between now and then, though, time for a little Hey Guys.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag #HeyGuys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Dive, drink, distill at High Bank Distillery Co. Learn more at highbankco.com.
And the winner here gets a $50 gift card to our great friends at High Bank Free Distillery Tour, tasting for up to 10. It's home of the best blended whiskey in America 3 years running. And by the way, make sure to pick up a bottle. Whiskey War Barrel Selects. We did them. The PX Double Oaked or the French Oak Cognac Barrel bottles. Proceeds from those two bottles benefit the Ronald McDonald's House, which helps provide comfort, care, and support for families with children who are sick around the world. Make your reservation at highbankco.com.
I may have a pour of that PX Double Oak tonight. Cool, sounds baby. Good. Sounds appropriate.
That's a real treat. It's a real treat.
That'll help your sore throat.
Yeah. Warm it up.
If anything, you're doing it so you can talk better tomorrow.
That's right.
I got this from Chimney Chekwa's Burner on Twitter or on the YouTube chat. Excuse me. Hey, guys, what's the best spot in town for a first date? It says asking for a friend.
Well, look, I mean, there's so many great spots. I've always been, I mean, since they've been here, I've always been a Jeff Ruby guy. I just think the tone there is just so elite. But there's so many elite ones. I used to love Hyde Park on the Cap. I think there's a tone to that one. You know a place, I haven't been there in years, but a place I remember going with my wife when we were dating was M at Mira Nova. I used to love the way that joint was set up. Lindy's is great. I mean, there's a lot of great ones. It just depends on where you want to go. But this is an elite food city. Elite.
So, I don't want to speak out of turn here and just make Chimney the winner. But I mean, a first date at High Bank would be nice. A little distillery tour, that would be good as well. I always love, like, if the girl is into sports. I always love like a hockey game. I just think that was fun, and they usually have so many questions that you could talk to them about, and it was just like an icebreaker with the conversation. I joked with Chimney in the YouTube chat. A uh, a hockey game, the R bar, then a nice seafood dinner, and never call her again.
I say that to the boys all the time. Dorothy Mantooth was a saint. I always say that to the boys. You're going to take her out to a nice seafood dinner and never call her again. By the way, I just Googled it. Emmett Miranova closed 4 years ago, and that's what happens when you're married. You don't go on first date places anymore. That's the reality.
Well, I mean, you're always at High Bank or Ruby's. So.
That's true. Those are my joints, yeah.
I saw a couple in the YouTube chat for the old Mohawk. I don't know if you can go and get the meatloaf, because I don't know how meatloaf does on a first date. But the Mohawk in German Village is great. Club 185's a lot of fun just for a very casual first date. That's also kind of the outskirts of German Village. But yeah, you can't really go wrong with High Bank. Like the proximity to everything. Like if you did want to go to a Blue Jackets game following that, I didn't think you were going to say take her to Char Bar. Right after the Jackets game.
Heard a lot of the players used to hang out there back in the day.
That or Brothers. I think they have hot dogs still. All right. This is also in the YouTube chat that I just saw, and I don't know if... I don't think it's something that I should be offended by, but someone with a front yard might feel offense to this. The face of Ohio. Hey, guys. I have a 6-foot-tall pink flamingo wearing a Santa hat riding an ornament in my front yard. He says he's gotten some weird looks and some laughs. What's the strangest Christmas inflatable you've seen?
That would be it. I mean, most of the rest of the Christmas inflatables are that I've seen are pretty in line with what you would expect for the holiday season. You get some Grinches out there. You get that type of stuff. A lot of Saint Nick, a lot of reindeer. Bootsy was emphatic on getting a Bluey one. So if you're familiar with the Bluey cartoons, like he wanted one of those. That would be it, though. I think a 6-foot-tall pink flamingo with a Santa hat would, I'll say that you win. You're the winner in the bar tonight. That would be one that would certainly create some looks. It's not like Halloween, though, where you literally get like horror movies played out on front yards.
I did see one sometime when somebody just kind of left their Halloween decorations up and just kind of changed the lighting on them and made it more Christmas lighting. That was a pretty weak effort out of them.
Could you take like a werewolf and just put like a Santa Claus hat on it and just make the lighting softer? And then does that change?
Put some reindeers behind it.
Yeah.
No. I saw someone with an Oogie Boogie inflatable, the main antagonist in Christmas or Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. That's a Christmas movie. One inflatable I think can be ridiculous as you'd like it to be if it's just one on the lawn. It's when you start going into like 4 or 5 or 6 inflatables. Yeah. Then I think we need to have a conversation.
I think it's like tattoos. Once you get one, then you end up just with like 8.
I gotta have more.
Gotta have 1,000. Yeah.
Nick asks on Twitter, hey guys, with Hartline at USF for 6 years, what's his over under on years coached, and does he get a Power 4 gig after that?
Jeez, that's great. Okay, so I kind of think if he's going to get a Power 4 gig, it'll happen before 6 years. So if he does a really good job there in 2 or 3 years, then he's going to try to parlay that into a Power 4 job after that. So I'm going to put the over under on years spent with him at USF. I'm going to put it at 3.5. I'm going to go 3.5.
I think if he continues what Alex Golish has done at USF, he's probably only there 2 years, maybe 3. Now, does he go to a Power 5 job or does he go to the NFL? Because I kind of have the feeling the NFL will come calling for Mr. Hartline if he does a good job at USF.
Certainly in play.
I just seen in the YouTube chat, Dan says he saw a massive Christmas T-Rex in Upper Arlington, of all places.
It's your stomping grounds.
It's probably Bob.
Yeah. You think the general's got inflatables in his yard?
Yeah, I think one of the boys talked him into putting a T-Rex, and I could see Bob getting behind that. Put a Saint Nick hat on the T-Rex. There's some holiday spirit to that.
I apologize if I pronounce this incorrectly, but Witzel on the YouTube chat says, hey guys, need some elf on the shelf ideas. His kids keep saying the elves are in their typical spot.
Well, I think you got to talk to your elves. I mean, they have a one thing that I've noticed with our elf experience is that he's really got a mind of his own. I told that story earlier in the week, but apparently he must be in cahoots with my wife because he went to the only room in the house where you can't turn the lights off. And that was, I thought, interesting.
today he showed up. He was kind of a, I suppose he was like Stallone in Cliffhanger. He had a grapple hook and a some sort of a rope, and he was rappelling from the staircase kind of down with a little message. So he's getting a little better and better at that. I think it's really nice when the elf kind of does his own thing and handles his own business. That's how I like it. I don't like him interfering with my day to day. So that's something that I worked out with the elf. I mean, I'm sure they have a union. Worked that out with them to make sure, and it's been pretty enjoyable so far this year.
I mean, I would think elves have to go to the bathroom, right?
They do. So, I would think.
The elf at some point wouldn't be on the shelf. He'd probably be on the commode. Does it sound old saying commode? But
is it one of those things to where instead of trying to put it in new places, you just get new ones? And they
I don't know what you're talking
several
about.
Of them. I mean,
I really don't know what you're talking
about.
You
just have them call for backup, I should say.
Yeah, they can call for backup, yeah. I think, from time to time. And sometimes they have, you know, I'll tell you, they got a hell of a Saks Fifth Avenue in the North Pole, because it appears that there's a lot of different outfits that are for sale up there that they're able to come back with. It feels like with every passing year, there are more little trinkets that end up showing up as well, which I think is interesting, because, you know, in the beginning when our elf's named Ernie, in the beginning when Ernie showed up, he kind of paratroop in and he was by himself and that was it. And I noticed with each passing year, it feels like he has a different wardrobe. Several wardrobe changes are now available to him. So I don't know if just like his salary's gone up or if the shopping's better in the North Pole than it used to be. I'm not sure. But he's got a lot more at his disposal than he had a couple of years ago. I know that.
I'm being told the T-Rex was a Christmas-themed T-Rex inflatable. Yeah. I would hope so. Like a T-Rex with a fun Santa hat.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I'm for it. I think there's like a 62% chance that's Bob.
Is it too early? Because Ace asks what our ultimate Christmas movie lineup is.
Yeah, I think...
do we save that or do we do it?
No, we can do... I mean, I think that the key to this is there are two types of Christmas movies. There are the adult Christmas movies. So this is your Love Actually, Office Christmas Party, Four Christmases... there are those. They're like the adult, funny Christmas movies. Bad Santa, like that type of stuff. Then there's the kind of emotional adult Christmas movies. And Love Actually kind of is in that one, too. But there's kind of... It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Story and all of that. And then there's like just the staples, like the kid ones, like Elf, Grinch, the old school Grinch, like the little short Burl Ives one, like those. Those are, so I think it just depends on which silo you're in, and we kind of tend to tackle all of them. I think if Bootsy and my wife had it their way, they would watch a Christmas movie every night for a month. I, as you could probably guess, don't have that in me, but there are some that I am excited to watch every year, and some of them are some of the ones that I mentioned there. We could do a bracket like next week or something. We could do a bracket.
We love a good bracket.
Yeah, we could bracket it out. We'd have different pods, like kids movies, emotional, funny. We could do that pretty easily.
I can be swayed a lot of different ways on this, but I have to have Home Alone 1 and 2 and Christmas Vacation in there.
See, those are... So, I think Home Alone would be like in the... That's probably kid. That's in the same place as like Buddy the Elf and the Grinch, like the live-action Grinch. And then Vacation is in the... Don't you think that's with like Four Christmases and Office Christmas Party and those? Christmas Vacation, there's only one spot that's a little dicey with young kids. Mm-hmm. There's just one spot where you kind of have to blow through. Other than that, it's totally fine. Some of those other ones are true-blown adult. What is your favorite one? So you go Home Alone, Bake?
I love Home Alone. Home Alone 1, yeah, Home Alone 2, those are both great to me.
They're both perfect.
I'll argue Home Alone 2 is better.
I can see it. I don't think so, but I can see it. They're both great.
Uncle Frank is a sociopath in the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, just complete sociopath. I also think it's really amazing, like, when they get back from France, and they're like, hey, Kevin, seems like you did okay. That's funny. Let's go back to business. And it's like, dude, you went to Paris? You left the kid for 3 days? And, like, we're not even like, oh, thank God you're alive. Like, nothing. It's just like, all right, What'd you do to my room, Kevin?
Listen, he got the milk, eggs, and fabric softener. What else did they need?
It's all you need. It's the best looking mac and cheese I've ever seen. That mac and cheese that he doesn't get to eat because of the attack is coming.
That's the worst part. He doesn't even get to take a bite.
Not even a bite of it. The attack comes too soon. Also, like when Bootsy was little, he would always do that. A cheese pizza just for me. Like he would do that line all the time. That's very, very good. All right. Who do you like here, Reese?
Well, I'm thinking if we haven't given it to Chimney in the last year, then he'll be eligible for it this time. And that can be the place, Highbank Distillery in Grandview or Westerville or Gahanna, that he can go on that first or hopefully second date. Hopefully the first date goes so well. He says, I've got a special treat for you, and a distillery tour and a whiskey tasting could be in his future.
I love that. By the way, Tyler on social, I think the North Pole approved NIL for elves last year. I think he's right. They're killing it. These guys are killing it up there. You got all sorts of commercials and everything happening. We'll take a look at the college football coaching carousel now that it has settled. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bye, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
This holiday season.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Have an unhealthy obsession with the Blue Jackets? We have just the remedy. Join us Wednesday nights at 7 for the Inside Edge. All the Jackets and hockey conversation you can handle. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I don't know what I
trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're tracking rainy and windy conditions here for today as winds gust up to 40 miles per hour. That's going to usher in some colder temperatures later on this afternoon. Eventually looking at some rain and snow showers through this evening into the early part of tonight. And temperatures dropping down to the 30s here by tomorrow with a few more flurries. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle coming up in 11 minutes on the behind the scenes of how Penn State ended up with Matt Campbell. Time for you to engage and maybe earn a little cash. Playoff time means brackets. Mountain Dew and the Fan are giving you a shot at $500. It's our college football playoff bracket contest. Just fill out your 12-team bracket before the first game kicks off on December 19th. Enter now at 971thefan.com. What was your favorite hire of this coaching cycle? There's some headliners out there, certainly. The SEC had their consistent, always three jobs open situation down there, usually one of the blue bloods. I would argue this year, potentially one bluest of blue blood in LSU, which I do think is a top five job. And then I think Florida is probably top 15. Auburn's probably top 20. Those jobs were both filled as well. We were involved in it with Brian Hartline heading to South Florida. The Big Ten was interesting with the Penn State. James Franklin immediately pivoting and landing at Virginia Tech and seeing a spot there where he believed he could win in short order and not even really waiting to see if there was a call from Florida or Auburn, but rather just pivoting right to Virginia Tech. Penn State kind of hung out there the longest and then ended up with Matt Campbell. One that I really like, and I would be shocked if it doesn't work, especially when you consider the financial promises that have been made, is Pat Fitzgerald at Michigan State. I just have a hard time seeing how that doesn't work. Now, how do you define work? Can they be Texas Tech? They've been it before. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. They were winning the Big Ten with Dino. And with the amount of money that they're going to throw around, they could be very attractive in short order the same way that Texas Tech was if they want to throw that. I mean, they have three billionaire boosters.
Yeah, I kind of thought.
Multi-billionaire boosters.
Like Indiana was the path that Michigan State thought it could take. But the more I think about it, it's the Texas Tech path that Michigan State thinks it can take.
I think so. I mean, if Ishbia, Gilbert, and whoever the guy was who wrote the check
for Jonathan, guy,
Yeah, the Acrisure guy. If those three decide, hey, we're going to, how's about $75 million between the three of us every year for a roster? Let's go. I mean, that can happen in a second. And I think Pat Fitz is the type of guy who could do that. That's the one that I really liked. I also think Franklin is going to do really well at Virginia Tech, especially if there's a financial commitment. You saw what he did on signing day. I thought that was impressive that all of those kids he had committed to Penn State followed to Virginia Tech. I thought that was interesting. So that one took notice of me as well. How about you guys? What are some that you like, others that you maybe didn't?
Well, I'm still amazed how Penn State kind of just fell ass backward into Matt Campbell. I mean, for the past 6-7 years, every time the coaching carousel started to spin, you kind of wondered, where is Matt Campbell going to end up? And now he moves a little bit closer to home, you know, a Northeast Ohio guy, a Mount Union guy. It feels like he would have a great understanding of recruiting in this area and recruiting to an outpost. Mm-hmm. Like Ames I was out there. And so yes. State College, I think, is at a little bit better of a location, certainly a greater proximity to talent. And there's an understanding of how the transfer portal works. There's several seasons at Iowa. They've been able to field competitive teams. And it's going to be a lot tougher in the Big Ten. But at Penn State, you can win some recruiting battles in the high school level. And if their donor base is enthused enough to flush them with cash for a war chest, they'll be competitive with anybody in the Big Ten.
I think the Fitzgerald and Franklin ones are kind of no-brainers.
Yeah.
I think James Franklin will do a good job at Virginia Tech. And I think Pat Fitzgerald was always a good head coach. And if Michigan State is ready to go in on football, then I think he will do well. There's three that I really like. I love Alex Golish to Auburn. I just think, and obviously there's a little bias with the Central Ohio ties, but I think the way he's worked his way up the ranks and the story about him, and there was a really awesome story in The Athletic that was done on Alex Golish and his high school principal going with him and being his kind of right-hand man now, his director of player personnel. I think it's really good. Everybody should go back and read that article on him, but I think that's going to work out well at Auburn. I love Kentucky hiring Will Stein, the Oregon offensive coordinator. If there's a school in the SEC where you can take a chance on a guy that hasn't been a head coach before, I think it's Kentucky, and I think that might pay off well for them in the end. And then Jim Mora Jr. going to Colorado State. I know Colorado State isn't much of a football program, but they've had their moments. He's a proven head coach. He's learned a little bit. It didn't work for him when he came to college from the NFL, but he's had some other jobs. He was at UConn. He's learned a little bit. I think Colorado State, that's a job where he could get them on the map again and playing good football.
Yeah, he's got a place either in Idaho or Montana, and I think he wanted to get closer to that. I can't remember which one it is. It's either Idaho or Montana. I
mean, he won at UConn.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He was at UCLA and Washington.
That sounds right.
Right? And then wasn't Neuheisel at both of those two? And then Sarkisian was at Washington and USC. So, I mean, there's a lot of that that happened in that conference. I agree with you on the Kentucky hire, Bake. I think that was a very solid one. The one we haven't talked about, the two that I think, to me, I would be, maybe I'm wrong on this. To me, John Summerall feels like everybody else that Florida has hired who's not named Urban Meyer since Steve Spurrier left. He feels not much different than Billy Napier. He feels not that much different than the old boy that they thought was hugging the swordfish. That guy that ended up at Central Michigan.
Why am I McElwain?
Remember him?
Well, and then he was involved in another.
Yeah, he had to quit because of Connor Stallions.
Right. But that's what that one feels like, the Summerall hire to me. I think that job is just a shadow of what it once was. And I'm sure they wanted Kiffin so badly because he would have fit, kind of having covered that program when I did, he would have fit so much better into what I think it takes to win there. You have to be borderline arrogant to win at Florida. Spurrier was, Urban was, justifiably so in both cases, but you almost, I think that's what it takes to win at Florida. I think anybody who's not that, if you don't have that type of positivity, and I just saw Summerall and some of the stuff, the behind the scene video they put up down there, and I was like, this just doesn't feel like the type of fit. Kiffin at LSU is so volatile. I do think Pete Golding is going to fall on his face at Ole Miss, just the way he goes about his business. I think that's going to be, I don't know what that contract looks like, but I think that's going to end very, very poorly. Kiffin at LSU is going to be fascinating because the cutesy stuff at Ole Miss with the media, that's not going to be tolerated at LSU. LSU goes through coaches like Teslas go through tires. Like they just, it's every 2 or 3 years, man. They just fly through them. And he seems to have everything that you'd want. It seems like it's a place he could be for 10 years. He's never been anywhere for 10 years. From a financial standpoint, they'll be quite motivated. But you do the over-under on years he's there. To me, I don't know. I think 4.5 feels like the spot.
But when it does implode, it's going to be so entertaining.
Spectacular.
Because you're going to get Foghorn Leghorn Governor coming out there and be like, I'm not letting this guy pick my next head coach. Like, well, you fired the last guy because that guy you didn't want picking your head coach. Then you brought on this other guy.
Right.
And he picked this head coach. And so now what do you do? We'll all be entertained by it.
The highs that could be with him at LSU, but also, man, the lows and the entertainment when it implodes is going to be off the charts.
I think he's a really good offensive coach. I think he's a really good play caller. I think what he did with Trinidad Chambliss this year was kind of lost. I mean, that wasn't, so he wasn't supposed to be the starter. It was supposed to be Austin Simmons. Simmons goes down early and then they pivot to Chambliss and Chambliss ends up first team. Was he the first team all SEC? No, second team all SEC quarterback with Ty Simpson behind Pavia. Like, that was remarkable, the job he did this year at Ole Miss. So I think, I mean, he can coach. I just wonder, like, all the rest of it. And he may leave on his own volition. He might be like Saban.
Just be done with college football altogether, or could, yeah, like could an NFL team be calling and be like, I'll try that again.
Yeah, I think it's all in play with him down there. The Penn State search was the most interesting, the most dogged, certainly the longest. Rich Scarcella was there every step of the way. He'll join us in 2 minutes with the details. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, we want to know what's going on behind the scenes in Happy Valley. There's only one man we call. He's our great friend, Rich Scarcella. He joins us covering Penn State at the Reading Eagle. Rich joins us on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Buddy, thank you so much for the call, for taking the time. I wanted to start here before we get to the search. This is a team that started the year number 2 in the country. Everything aligned to go win a national title. You were there every step of the way. What was this season like for you covering it?
Well, having been on the beat, being on the beat since 1989, I've seen a lot. So I, you know, lived through the scandal and everything like that. This was as unique, very unique season. Let's just say that. Still a bunch of theories being espoused about how this season went wrong. And nobody really knows for sure. We could go on and on. We could spend an hour talking about that. But, The fact is, you know, other than the Jerry Sandusky scandal, I think it's been like 80 years since Penn State, I don't even know if they've ever changed a coach in midseason. So that was unique for us on the beat. And then covering the search, it was interesting because nothing was happening. You know, but that's all people wanted to know about was the search because the games became almost secondary. They did become secondary. And so it's been rather odd. And Pat Kraft had a press conference the day after he fired James Franklin, which was October 13th was when he had the press conference, and publicly didn't hear from him again until Monday.
Jeez. Rich, yeah. if you're to read into, and you've been there a long time, you know the folks, you know the operators, the people that are making things happen. What do you think Pat's intent was when he fired Franklin? Did he have a name? Did he have a list? In his mind's eye, what was he trying to do by making that decision when he did and getting right out into that search?
I believe, and I don't know this, I have no facts to verify to back me up. I believe he wanted to hire Matt Rhule, who he is still friends with from their days at Temple, or Kurt Cignetti. He thought he could lure Kurt Cignetti. Matt Rhule, I wouldn't say he eliminated himself, but he was eliminated because of the backlash from many Penn State fans when this happened. They're all, oh, I hope it's not Matt Rhule. And Matt Rhule is a really good guy, and I don't want to disparage him. But that was the backlash from the fans. And then Kurt Cignetti signed an extension, a very lucrative extension, very quickly. And then with Matt Rhule, 5 days after Franklin was fired, Nebraska lost to Minnesota very decisively on a Friday night. And that was that. And then from what I can gather, I think he targeted Mike Elko, Kalen DeBoer, and Marcus Freeman. As I've written, he swung for the fences. He thought he was going to get one of them. And the three of them, of course, they didn't say no right away. You know, they listened. And I never thought that that was a strong possibility. And then it became, all of a sudden, out of the blue, Kalani Sitake, the BYU coach, which, frankly, he might be a really good coach and a really good person. It made no sense to fit in Penn State. He had never been, he never coached east of Utah.
Right.
Has one player on his roster east of Texas. It made absolutely no sense. And then he turned it down. And then out of the blue, a guy who should have been on the short list right away, Matt Campbell, became the guy. And he was contacted by Pat Kraft Wednesday night, the university president Thursday morning, and by Friday afternoon, he was signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, it's weird because I think this fit actually makes the most sense of several of the ones that you mentioned. I did want to, you mentioned DeBoer, and I've got a couple of buddies who are Penn State alumni, and they were really convinced, Rich, for whatever it's worth, that there was a chance that DeBoer would come if Alabama lost the Iron Bowl, that maybe he would just be like, I can't take it, I got to get out, and he would go north. Do you put anything into that?
No. It is hard to tell, but I think there was some merit in that. That's what I was hearing. That indirectly, you know, secondhand information that Kraft thought that he could get DeBoer if they lost to Auburn. Now, I don't know how much legitimate interest was from DeBoer's side. I know he said last week that he was never contacted by Penn State. Well, that's semantics. You know, I'm sure his agent was contacted, but the fact is, yeah, there was a feeling there. Mm-hmm. And then it disappeared when Sitake's name emerged. And again, completely out of the blue, you know, obviously knocked Kraft's socks off in an interview, and Kraft really thought he was going to get him. And then Sitake slept on it and said, no, this is my home. This is the way of life. My church is here. I'm staying here.
So the pivot ends up with Matt Campbell. Now, we know Matt pretty well. He's a Massillon Perry kid, Mountain Union guy, and was a guy who pretty certain was very hopeful that he'd get a look when Urban left here. But of course, Ryan was already in the spot. And I think he would have done anything for the Michigan job at various spots, that he had a great interest in that job. The Penn State job is right there. And this makes a lot of sense for about a billion reasons to me. Penn State's always recruited Northeast Ohio pretty well as well. And that's obviously his home. But he's been off the radar here for a little bit. And 4 or 5 years ago, he was the top of every list. And it felt like it was inevitable he was going to land somewhere. When it inevitably is Campbell, how does the fit seem to you? How does the fit seem to the fan base? And what did you kind of make of him now that you've gotten a chance to talk to him a little bit at his introductory press conference?
You asked me a lot of questions, Bo.
Okay. Sorry, buddy. Lots I want to get to. I'm so fascinated by all this.
Real quick, I think he's a great choice. I think he and Bob Chesney, who is a Pennsylvania native from my home area of Pennsylvania, the Anthracite Coal Region, he's the JMU coach. I thought either one of them would have been a really good fit. And I think Chesney was waiting to hear from Penn State, and then he didn't, or he did, whatever, how you look at it, and then took the UCLA job. So I think Matt Campbell's a great choice. I think the fans are happy that it's finally over. They were very, very annoyed that it took this long. I could tell you that from what I've heard. I've only received one negative comment in an email from a fan who looked at Matt Campbell's record and didn't realize that Iowa State had historically been one of the worst D1 programs in the country until we got there. But I think the fans are embracing it. And I think, I mean, most coaches win the press conference, and he won it. I mean, it'd be hard not to. Well, there were a group of us, about 10 or 11 of us, after the press conference. We were met him off a room in the locker room and had him for 30 minutes, no cameras. I really liked him. He was engaging. I think he's very genuine, very sincere. He's got tremendous experience. I mean, he's been a head coach for 14 years, yeah, you know, at the D1 level. So they're my takes on it. And I think despite the long search and really getting lucky here, they got a really good choice.
Talking to our great friend Rich Scarsella, covers Penn State for a long time at the Reading Eagle, one of the best in the business, knows that program front and back. Those same buddies of mine that I was talking to said you ought to listen to LeVar Arrington on Brady and him with Brady Quinn. And LeVar, and I listen, it's 5 minutes, and he talks about the stuff with Jay Paterno and all of it, and there's probably an hour of content there. But just for our audience, how much of a factor has Jay Paterno and his faction played around Penn State, the university, the football program? And is it a much bigger thing than those of us who aren't in state college realize?
That is a great question. He's aligned with it. He's on the board of trustees elected by the alumni, and he's aligned with a gentleman named Anthony Lebrano, who actually was at Penn State when I was there. And his name is on the baseball field. It's called Medler Field at Lebrano Park. Mm-hmm. He's contributed a lot of money to Penn State. I could tell you that James Franklin and people around him believed that those two, that they didn't have the full support of those two, mm-hmm, that at times they felt that they worked against them. I could tell you that. I've been told that. Mm-hmm. Can I actually say that it happened? No, I can't. But that's the feeling that I got from them. Now, Jay was at the introductory press conference Monday in the back of the room. I don't recall if he was there when James Franklin was hired in 2014. You know, 11 years ago. I don't know, but he was there. And yeah, it's LeVar, I know, and I know there are other former players. They are really outspoken against Jay and Lebrano. I know this because Brandon Short, who played linebacker with LeVar Arrington at Penn State, is on the trustees, and it's on the board of trustees, and he has also spoken out against them. So those two are really prominent former Penn State players, and they believe that that they've worked against the football program specifically.
Wow, that's a lot going on. But I think in the end, you got a good coach. I think it's going to be a good, and I think it's, I'm really excited to see what he does over there, Rich. Always a pleasure talking to you. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all of that stuff, my friend. It's always a treat. Thanks for your time.
Anytime, Bo. Thanks. Happy holidays to you guys as well.
All right, there he goes. Rich Scarsella on the Penn State beat since 1989 at the Reading Eagle. And you want to know what's going on in Happy Valley, that's the guy you want to talk to. We'll get you your officially endorsed in three things on a first Friday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Are you looking to hire?
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURN.
Morning Juice, real football talk. Just two guys who aren't afraid to say what needs to be said.
And that's how she wrote.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Now streaming mornings on YouTube and 10 TV Plus. Attack and dominate.
Feeling stuck on your...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURN.
Line is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The best hair on the air.
You are listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do we have in the poll today?
Daily Fan poll asks, who do you think Ohio State matches up better against? Obviously in the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. Miami or Texas A&M are your options. 65% say Miami.
What do you matches up better against? Mm-hmm. Which team makes you more nervous? For whatever reason, A&M makes me more nervous with Marcel Reed. Just because he's slippery?
I just feel like
I think they're good with
the
both.
Reese, but. Downs, Styles, triumvirate.
Yeah.
Makes an athletic quarterback kind of a moot point. But both lines of scrimmage, both defensive lines for A&M and Miami terrify me. With Ohio State's offensive line looked, but I would give the slight edge better in a matchup to Miami.
Neither of them scare me at all, quite frankly. I would say Miami, though, they have first-round draft pick at defensive end and a first-round draft pick at offensive tackle in that wide receiver. The freshman is really good, Tony. So I would think Miami would probably scare me a little more.
Yeah. All right. It is a First Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed. Because everyone deserves two Fridays.
Sponsored by Hydrate Me Med Spa. Feel better, recover faster, live optimized with Hydrate Me.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
Look, this is kind of a no-brainer this week. I'm so proud of what we did with High Bank and the two Whiskey War barrel selects that we did, the Pedro Jimenez Double Oak, the French Oak Cognac. Portions of the proceeds benefit the Ronald McDonald's House. Look, this is a bit of a. These are both delicious. They're unbelievable. It was so much fun to do this with Adam and the team. They're both dessert in a tumbler. They're both perfect for this time of year. But if you're going to put my face and signature on a bottle, you can rest assured that it's going to be your officially endorsed on the week that it drops. So that's the way it's going to go on that side. So enjoy those. Those will be available. I think Friday you'll be able to start seeing those around. So look forward to that. And I'm going to dip my toe in those waters this evening after the double basketball practice. Time for three things on a First Friday. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars reward spot.
All right, number one for me. So last night, NBC spent, if he spent 60% of his night watching the Ohio State basketball game, he spent 40% of his night scrolling on his phone in hopes of there being a snow day or a canceled school day today, to the point where he even said, do you want to bet? Like, he was so confident. And I was so close just saying triple or nothing. But the last thing I want to do is have to pay him all that on the off chance that he actually got it. So my retribution for this, though, was a revenge that was oh so sweet. This morning, at wake up at 6:40, I just cackled and laughed. Ha ha ha, boys. School's on. Enjoy yourselves. And the despondent nature of them as they lie in their beds motionless will fuel me for the rest of the month. Just beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of consideration of it wasn't going to be the case, at least in Grandview. I don't know if it's just going to get sloppy the rest of the afternoon, but stuff's falling from the sky, so we got to do the worst driving humanly possible. Just real quick, my first thing to speak to the High Bank experience that we got to have in, you know, tasting so many of the different barrel selects, and then when you ultimately made the choice on the two that are going to be available starting Friday. If you have the opportunity, if you're not a whiskey drinker, if you're not a wine drinker, to do a tasting, go and do it. Because I had never done a whiskey tasting, but I'd done several wine tastings. And the wine tastings that I'd done had made me just dangerous enough to know kind of what the hell I was doing in the whiskey tasting. And they're both, and I'm sure beer tastings are similar, to learn from people who have such passion for what they create is all over a cool experience.
You were on it. Like, your palate was ready to go, Reese. It was pretty impressive. You were on it.
I knew just enough to be dangerous. But that's... Because I mean, you just learn so much about different, you know, the palate, the aroma, all that nonsense.
And I'm guessing nobody does it better than High Bank. They were first class when we were over there. So definitely a cool experience. Congratulations to Matt Patricia. He's one of five finalists for the Frank Broyles Award given to the top assistant coach in college football. No offense to Georgia's offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo, Indiana's defensive coordinator, Brian Haynes, Miami's D.C., Corey Heatherman, or Texas Tech defensive coordinator, Shale Wood. Matt Patricia should be a runaway winner of this award.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly should. Absolutely. Just to reiterate, I don't know what's going to happen on the roads today, but these are my worst. This is always my worst fear when it comes to travel is what's coming our way potentially this afternoon. Anytime you get that rain into ice situation, just give it an extra second. Just be a little cautious. Keep your eyes peeled for your fellow drivers and citizens out there. I know everybody wants to get home, but man, take it easy tonight, kids. That's your lesson from your Uncle Bo. And then enjoy your first Friday. God forbid, God don't ever do that. Enjoy your first Friday when you get home.
I just want to give good luck to the four teams involved in tonight's NBA Cup quarterfinal action. Bo, your Los Angeles Lakers have the San Antonio Spurs at 10 o'clock. That'll be after the Suns and the Thunder. Both games available on Amazon Prime. And oh yeah, the NBA Cup's still a thing.
Has anything fallen more flat than that?
I mean, the courts are atrocious.
The courts are dreadful. I mean, even Luka was like complaining about the court, and so the Lakers had to go with a different court
because he was slipping. Anything.
I mean, you can't see. It's brutal, and it doesn't feel like it's done a thing for that sport. Nothing.
Second thing for me, so out here in our cubicles, we have a microwave, and we literally had maybe the world's largest microwave, but it was starting to go, so they bought a new microwave. We went from the world's biggest microwave to, I'm pretty sure, the world's smallest microwave. Like, I don't even know if you can get a bowl in that thing. It literally looks like an easy bake oven.
Man,
it is so small.
Fish was peacocking the microwave this morning. Don't crap on
it. I'm sure it works really well. I mean, that microwave could fit inside the other microwave easily.
Can you put like one of those old frozen Hungry Man dinners in there? Would that fit?
That's all
the
AR cares
man,
about.
The Hungry Man XL. Those will not
fit. Not the XL.
In that, no.
Not the XL. As long as you can get one of those lean cuisines in there,
it's literally like going from a Hummer to a Mini Cooper. It's insane.
I can't even tell you the last time I used a microwave.
I mean, air fryers.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that needs to be warm that's left over, I just do it on the stovetop is the way that I do it. Finally, number three for me tonight. For some reason, I remembered it. I made dinner last night. We didn't have practice. I made dinner for the fam, and I hadn't thought about this salad forever, but I had this couple who used to, when we would go to their house in Tallahassee, we call it the Tallahassee salad. So it was a baby spinach, strawberries, blueberries, Granny Smith apple, almonds, and poppy seed dressing. Yeah, with a little bit of cheddar cheese. Not particularly the healthiest salad you've ever had, but I haven't made it in like 15 years. I made it last night. All the boys crushed it. Again, because it's basically candy.
Final thing for me, we had talked yesterday about NFL teams kind of changing up their identity mid-season, sometimes by necessity, sometimes just trying to throw something to the wall to see what sticks. See the Detroit Lions. But the top headline on ESPN is talk of Nick Sirianni and benching Jalen Hurts and how he's just not going to do it. And be careful what you wish for, Philly fans, because the Colts are having to basically flop or flip what they do in the middle of the season or near the end of the season because they're all hurt and they got Phillip Rivers who might be starting games for them. But for the Eagles, Tanner McKee and Sam Howell are your backups.
Gosh.
What are we doing?
They just won the Super Bowl, for God's sakes.
I don't understand this.
Final thing for me, don't go anywhere. Rothman and Ice coming up next. Julian Sain is having a press conference on the Heisman Trophy, so they're going to try to get let you hear some of that. They'll also do a little hockey and hounds with Damon Severson at 2:30.
All right, there you go. You have that to look forward to, which is very nice. It is a first Friday. Make sure you act accordingly. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Hey, what's up?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call